This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
I'm World Lutheran News Digest host Kip Allen. Are the media biased when it comes to covering social issues such as gay marriage and abortion? I discussed this with LCMS Director of Editorial Services, Roger Drennan.
And now today's Fast Track.
Here's news in brief of interest to Lutherans worldwide. In response to a July 27 announcement from the Boy Scouts of America that it's lifting its nationwide ban on openly gay adult scout leaders, two representatives of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, released a statement acknowledging that the action certainly and rightly raises concern for many LCMS congregations who have joined long-lasting relationships with the BSA. The statement was signed by LCMS President, the Reverend Dr. Matthew C. Harrison, and the Reverend Bart Day, Executive Director of the Church Body's Office of National Mission. Christian leaders, including an 89-year-old bishop, have taken to the streets of eastern China to protest against an evil campaign to remove crosses that many see as a coordinated Communist Party attack on their faith. Activists say that more than 1,200 crosses have been stripped from churches in Zhejiang Province since the government initiative began in late 2013. World Lutheran News Digest will be back right after these messages.
Cross Defense, the apologetic show for inquiring minds of all ages. Cross Defense airs Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. on air, online, on demand, right here on Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, inviting you to join us for Issues Etc. weekday afternoons from 3 to 5. Issues Etc. is a live call-in show with a twofold purpose. First, we defend and teach the truths rediscovered during the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. Second, we challenge today's postmodern culture with its unbiblical ideology.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO Radio.
Hi, I'm Pastor Mark Hawkinson, host of Moments of Assurance, Sunday at 9:15 a.m. right here on KFUO Radio. Each week I have the privilege of producing a quarter hour of message, music, and prayer blended together to fit a special theme for that day. You'll hear messages of hope and complete confidence in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You'll hear choirs and instrumentals to support the message as well. So I invite you to join me. That's Moments of Assurance, Sunday morning at 9:15 a.m.
Hi, I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran in St. Louis.
And I am Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's in New Athens and Trinity in Darmstadt, and we welcome you to listen to Wrestling with the Basics.
Matt, let go of me, man. No, it's not real wrestling. We're just talking about Bible issues.
No.
Oh, 9:05 Saturday mornings, 8:50 a.m. KFUO.
I'm Kip Allen with World Lutheran News Digest. With me today is Roger Drennan, who is the Director of Editorial Services for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And today we're going to be discussing how the media has covered or mishandled coverage of the gay marriage issue. We're going to start off by, first of all, establishing our bona fides. Roger, tell me a little bit about yourself and your background.
I'm a retired Air Force. I was a public affairs guy in the Air Force for many years. Went to the Defense Information School of Journalism and Editing and several subsequent courses. After I retired from the Air Force, I became a civilian public affairs officer at Scott Air Force Base doing media relations for Air Mobility Command. And after about 8 years of that, I came here to work at the Synod.
So you have a lot of professional background as a journalist in dealing with the media as well.
Yes, both in doing media relations and just as a general observer of the media and the general bias that I've seen over the years, yes.
And my bona fides are, besides being the host of World Lutheran News Digest, I started in this business back in 1970, actually. Degrees in mass communications and a master's in journalism from Northwestern.
I have worked in newspaper, I've worked magazine, I have worked radio, and even some new media. I have awards from the Associated Press, United Press International, Southern California Radio and Television News Association, blah, blah, blah. The point that we're trying to raise here is that Roger and I have both been in the business for a long time. We know the media, we know journalism. And frankly, we are both appalled at what we have seen on how the media has covered, the news media has covered the SCOTUS decision and the gay marriage issue. Rather than presenting it in an objective point of view, they actually functioned as cheerleaders for the gay marriage community. Roger, what was your vision of this? How did you see that as a media expert?
Well, the issue of media bias, liberal media bias, has been an issue for a long time. But what we saw here was an acceleration of that, or perhaps a hyperbole of that, in that this coverage was just adoration for same-sex marriage, and the other side of it was not covered, or when it was mentioned, it was in a very controlled narrative. It was framed as love versus bigotry, or love versus religious anachronisms. And so we saw a very controlled narrative and just this exaggerated media bias, this adoration of same-sex marriage, and anything contrary to that was either not covered or portrayed as some type of bigotry.
It was delegitimized, essentially, the religious community, the people who stood on Scripture, were delegitimized. We were demonized, essentially. Something that I saw that just appalled me as a journalist was the absolute glee of the news presenters, you know, who were obviously on one side of the issue. Now, when I came up through journalism, when I was studying journalism, this was an absolute no-no. You never wanted to let the audience know how you stood on a particular issue. In fact, if you did have strong feelings about a particular issue, you had to go really make an extra effort to get the other side's point of view on that. For example, say gun control. You have a strong view of gun control. In my particular instance, I'm a Second Amendment absolutist. But I would go out of my way. I would talk to people with a Brady campaign. I would talk to other, you know, pro-gun control people for a story to get their point of view, because they had a point of view. Whether I agreed with it or not was completely irrelevant. That's not what we're seeing today.
It's not, and I think the traditional journalism ethic was that you present both sides as balanced as possible. If you do present it one-sided, you present it as your personal commentary, editorial type, and you announce it that way. What we see now is just kind of disregard of all journalism ethics, and editorialization and commentary are woven into hard news and infotainment in such a way that you cannot distinguish what is opinion of the individual versus what the news actually is. It's all meshed in together, and there's no policing of the media within themselves. There also seems to be a some type of mega donor base pushing this, because we look at this. It has happened to the media, but it also has occurred in big academia, big science, big corporation. It's a huge machine now. This progressive propaganda is ingrained itself in so many institutions, not just the media, that it seems to have a lot of mega funding behind it.
It really does. I look at the individual suits that have been brought against bakers, against photographers, people who really have not done anything bad. They simply say, no, I will not celebrate your gay marriage, but here's somebody who can. And these people would be glad to do it. And instead, these organizations, these individuals, go after them. They go after their livelihood. They go after their homes. They go after their savings. Somebody's got to be financing. Lawsuits like this are not cheap.
Yeah, there's a lot of litigation out there that indicates almost a totalitarianist perspective, that if you don't not only agree with same-sex marriage and related issues, but you have to believe as they believe, or else you're labeled as some type of bigot and subject to lawsuits. People are being sued not only as businesses, but they're being sued as individuals, which is a very frightening prospect, because they can lose everything personally versus their business or insurance that might cover some of these settlements. And so we're seeing this coercion, and it's not a matter of going along and getting along like how it was portrayed by some, that the same-sex community, the gay community, was going to go along and get along. What we're seeing now is a huge push for a couple of things. One is to coerce everyone to adoring this lifestyle, and also transgender
issues, which came immediately on the heels before the SCOTUS ruling was even announced. You know, we're seeing all these things and a huge push for that.
Well, one thing, in fact, you pointed this out to me before the show. Roger had pointed out that there was a commentary in Time magazine, I believe it was, by a fellow named Oppenheimer, came out, I think, the day after the SCOTUS ruling, immediately calling for the rescission of all tax-exempt status of churches. Obviously, this thing had been written in advance, has been planned, and they waited just till the ruling came, and then, bam, they hit that. And this was going to be a future attack, I think, not just on the churches, but everything else that we do, from the schools to adoption agencies. We've already seen it. For example, adoption agencies have been excluded from state organizations in Illinois.
Yes, and what was very disturbing about this commentary calling for the removal of tax exemption for churches, what's very disturbing here is it presented this idea that tax exemption is a subsidy to the churches, that that's tax money that could be going to elementary school swimming pools or sports programs and things. And there was a lack of understanding, lack of acknowledgement. And again, this gets back to journalists, you know, pontificating about things they're unqualified to write about. There's this idea that everything's the government's except what they allow you to have, and a lack of acknowledgement of the social services that churches provide, like disaster response and other related services that the government doesn't always do so well, but churches tend to do very well with. And that's why they're given this tax exemption, to further their ability to perform these services, which benefit the community as a whole. The Oppenheimer commentary disregarded all of that and made it sound like we spend all our money just fighting, you know, gay marriage and fighting the pro-choice movement.
Well, our own disaster response team here with the Synod, we've been in the Philippines, we've been in Haiti, we've been in Chile, we've been in numerous places in the United States where there's been shootings, where there's ever been a disaster. We are there. We're there often before any kind of government relief.
Yes, and as a Katrina survivor, I was stationed at Keesler Air Force Base when Katrina struck, and I didn't get anything from FEMA after Katrina, but the churches came and did lots of things. You know, there was a day I came home and my roof had been repaired by a church group, and I didn't even get to thank them because they came and went before I got home from work. And so that, to me, was a personal experience of how churches perform these types of services, whether it be disaster response or other similar services. And so the idea of taking away tax-exempt status and the perception that we're being subsidized to only deal with certain issues is certainly a very misconstrued idea. Unfortunately, it's one that we'll see being propagated, I'm afraid.
Well, one interesting comparison, churches will get tax exemption, and they're calling it a subsidy. But look at Planned Parenthood, where not only do they have tax exemption, they actually are subsidized by the government. They receive tax dollars in addition to the tax exempt status. Nobody's attacking them, not in the media.
Yeah, it's odd also, and there's been a lot of parallels drawn to the abortion issue and then the issue of same-sex, because we see the same control of the narrative. We see some double standards in how institutions are being treated, depending on where they stand on these issues. You know, we see a similar control of the narrative also on the climate issue. Curiously, if you question the very dubious science behind global warming, you're labeled a denier, not a skeptic, and there's all these institutions that come after you, despite the 2009 Copenhagen emails that were released that showed the flawed science behind climate change. So there's all these issues seem to be getting this one-sided support, and then all others are ostracized, demonized, and even have litigation against them.
Roger, you were just with a meeting of the group called the Alliance Defending Freedom. And this is an umbrella organization. They do legal defense of religious liberty and other things. This is an interesting gathering. Could you describe what had happened there, and are there plans now for us to finally fight back?
Well, I think Alliance Defending Freedom is one of those institutions that we can look to for some optimism amid all this. They do represent folks whose religious freedoms have been infringed upon. One of the folks who spoke to us was a 70-year-old lady who has a flower shop in Washington State, and you know, she refused to do flowers for a gay wedding. She had given this couple flowers for several other occasions, but just based on her religious views, would not do the wedding. And the state's attorney went after her, not as a business, but as an individual. So she stands to lose everything. That's one of the folks being represented by Alliance Defending Freedom. There are many, many others. But that, to me, you know, hearing this 70-year-old lady who built this business with her mother having to defend herself in this way, and the idea that, you know, you should be sued if you don't agree on a religious basis for your skills and your artistic expression. Things like cake design and flower arrangement, we don't think of always, but they are art, and they are a person's gifts that they're using for a certain type of expression, and they should be allowed to withhold those expressions for things they don't agree with. But that's not being viewed that way. It's you need to get on board or they're going to sue you out of business, is how the current climate is going.
One thing that you had brought up was the fire chief in Atlanta. That's an appalling story.
Yes, the fire chief in Atlanta, this was a man who grew up very poor, and all he wanted to be was a fire chief. And he became the fire chief of Atlanta and even went on to work for the Obama administration for a time because he had done so well as a fire chief in Atlanta. The city of Atlanta called him back. And as a Christian, he had written a book on his own time, on his own personal time, written a book about Christian values. The book is called Who Told You That You Were Naked? And he meant that for young men to show them some pitfalls, moral pitfalls they can fall into as young men, and especially sexual pitfalls. And in that book, he briefly references homosexuality. Some of his Christian coworkers asked for a copy of the book. He gave them a copy, and someone else got a hold of the book and started a lawsuit, which got him fired from his job immediately. So he was immediately declared guilty and fired from the position. So he's jobless right now as he deals with this case, but he seemed pretty firm in his faith and that he'll get through this.
And the ADF is representing him, I understand.
That's correct. They are, again, another case that they're advocating for and representing for. They also recently won a Supreme Court decision for the couple in a small town that had to put up signs for their worship services every week because they were in a different location every week. And this small town kind of came down on just them for their signs. Every other sign in the town could stay up forever, but they limited this religious service sign to 2 hours a day. And so this elderly couple who runs this service had to go out, put the signs up in the morning, take them immediately down every day. And they won that. It went all the way to the Supreme Court, but you probably didn't hear much about that case because shortly after that was won came the same-sex marriage ruling, which kind of trumped all the coverage on it.
Another thing we hear a lot in the media are false comparisons. For example, gay marriage as opposed to interracial marriage. Now, biblical scripture really does not reference race at all. In fact, it preaches quite the opposite. Admittedly, churches and religion have been used to abused in the past to justify it, but it is not scripturally sound. However, homosexuality, the practice of homosexuality, not the homosexual individual, but the practice of homosexuality is specifically condemned in Scripture. The Catholic Church recognizes this. The Southern Baptist Convention recognizes this. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod recognizes this. We simply cannot comply. It's God's law or man's law. Well, it's, as Luther said, here we stand. But there's that false narrative that somehow these two issues are the same. And we're not talking a couple of fringe groups here. We're talking, as I said, the Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, the Baptist Church, millions and tens of millions of faithful followers say we can't do this. It's not that we won't. We can't.
Well, and it was shocking to me not only to see the narrative controlled to love versus bigotry, but to see sexual behaviors equated with ethnicity and race. And they were successful at messaging this throughout the media. It was reiterated and reinforced that this was homosexuality is equal to race and ethnicity in a civil rights type of mindset. And everyone bought it. You know, a lot of people just went along with that narrative, bought into it. And it was shocking for me to see that they were successful in equating those things.
It really was. I wonder how Dr. King would have viewed it. After all, he was a Baptist.
Yeah, I don't know, but just seeing how many people just kind of took that messaging. Again, though, everyone was being inundated with all the media by very limited ideas on this topic. So, you know, there are some people that trust news agencies to give them fair reporting, and they base a lot of their decisions on that reporting. And so if you have, that's the other danger of media bias and a lack of balance in covering the issues is, you know, you have this low information group who bases a lot of their attitudes and decisions on that coverage.
One positive view, I think, is the advent of the Internet, is that finally there is a little bit of a check on the mainstream media. Before the Internet, you had Walter Cronkite. You had, you know, what was on the air, what was in the newspaper. And there was no way for the average person really to do fact-checking. Now we can. And I think it's interesting that we're hearing such howls from the progressive side about, ooh, Fox News, ooh, look at all these blogs. Ooh, look at talk radio. Ooh, these are all hateful people. Well, the thing is that they are contradicting the narrative, and they're doing it with fact.
I think that the Internet has brought about some resources that we might not otherwise have. But social media can often devolve into very uncivil conversations. And my concern is when you see one side starting to lose a conversation or an argument, it quickly devolves into name-calling and false hyperbole. And so it's very difficult to have civil discussions with the other side of some of these issues. It quickly devolves into that, you're a bigot, you're a hater, you know, and so the Internet has, you know, pluses and minuses, I guess, is my point.
Oh, I agree. I comment on Facebook. I comment on various blogs and what have you. And when I do receive that, well, you're just a hater, I try to remain as civil as possible on it. I will not stoop to their level, but I'll stick to my guns, saying, no, this is what I believe, and here is why. Contradict me. Show me where I am wrong. And that's usually where their argument falls apart. They can't do it.
Yeah, so really it's the resources are great that you can get to, but actually trying to reach other people with our side of the story can be a challenge through any media these days.
It can be, but I do see some resources starting to come up. Again, we know we have our own social media here at the Senate, and many people have their own individual blogs, and you can always comment on various publications and newspapers, although interestingly now our own St. Louis Post-Dispatch no longer allows commenting on the editorials.
Another area of bias that I wanted to mention is unfortunately where I came from, and that is in the United States military. There's been a huge change in culture in the U.S. military toward atheism, the removal of Christian ethos or Christian references due to some activism. Well-funded activism, and also the propagation of gay and transgender rights in terms of having now equal opportunity policies that can punish people for perhaps saying the wrong thing or having the wrong viewpoint on same-sex or transgender issues. Very shocking for me to see, coming from a time in the military that where it was common to see Christian references and crosses and, you know, chaplains could be more open about their faith, to now a very strict control and coercing of chaplains and the propagation of this pro-gay, pro-transgender narrative all the way up to the Secretary of Defense level is where this stuff is supported now. So that's a huge culture shift in the military, and it really puts our Christian military members in a bad place because they're being sort of admonished subtly and sometimes not so subtly for their faith.
Well, yeah, the instance of Pastor Motter, I believe, with the Navy, where in a private counseling session, he told someone that homosexuality was wrong, and he has been punished for what he said in a private counseling session, which was strictly in accordance with his faith and his teachings. That to me is appalling.
Yeah, and that whole situation, you know, we can speculate, but it involved a gay chaplain's assistant who went to him for counseling with some very specific questions to ask. So I don't know if that was planned or if it was circumstantial, but it sure smacked of some type of someone fishing for something to call this chaplain on. And we've seen some other examples. And another item that shocked me was the Air Force News Service, Air Force Reserve portion of Air Force News Service, pulled an article on this couple who, on their leave time, this active duty couple, on their leave time, had gone down and done some benevolent work in South America, I believe. And so the public affairs folks did a story about it, and in that article they mentioned their faith, and that the Air Force News Service would pull that article. They later put the article back up, but, you know, that sends a signal to the public affairs writers, hey, you just avoid mentioning this. You know, as a public affairs guy, I can tell you that's probably the implication right now in these writing these military articles.
Well, Roger, we're about running out of time, but this is an issue that is not going to go away, despite what the other side thinks. The fight will continue, and we're seeing some progress, at least we hope. And as Luther said, here we stand.
Yeah, I think it's important that we just remain faithful and we don't withhold our faith and our expressions of that faith and, you know, let the chips fall where they may. But it is important to be aware of what's going on. And after decades of conservative Christians sort of being passive, I think it's, you know, perhaps time that we be a little more outspoken on these issues to tell the other side of the story.
Onward, Christian soldiers. Roger, thank you very much. And you're always welcome at World Lutheran News Digest. World Lutheran News Digest may be heard every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and again on Wednesday at 2:30 p.m. Central Time on Worldwide KFUO Radio. It may also be heard anytime streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us again next Saturday for another new edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm your host, Kip Allen.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.